The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and the oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you'll raise it up in 3 days." But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe in the Scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord. If there's ever a word in our English language that tends to bring us some hope or some consolation or even some happiness, it's this one word, home. We're going home. That's always a good phrase to hear because we know when we're home, there's security, there's familiarity, there is some degree of comfort and care there. And for Catholics, and for Christians in general, but Catholics in particular, the true home for every Catholic is the church. It's the church where we are born into Christ when we're baptized. It's from the church that we go at our death. And so our true home is the church. And on this feast of St. John Lateran, it reminds us again and again why the church is such an important reality for us. It's not only a building, it's not a bureaucracy, it's not just a bunch of people. It is the body of Jesus Christ. It is the living manifestation of God in the world. That's the church. But for that church to have that strength, it has to be, first of all, full of Christ. This is His church, and we are His body, and He is the head. And like anything in life, what our head knows for sure, it takes our body sometimes to figure out. And so Christ is the head, is constantly shaping his body, namely us, that the body will do what the head finds to be its fulfillment and its happiness and its joy. And that's the Father's will. And so the church is a very, very important part of our life. It's very hard to say with honesty that you are a Catholic and yet you don't go to church. Doesn't make a lot of sense. It really doesn't, because Catholicism is not about individuals. Catholicism is about a community. It's what it's about. We recognize, first of all, the community of all communities, which is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity itself becomes the model of the church on earth, that we too are a communion in the one Jesus Christ. As Christ is in communion with the Father and Holy Spirit as the one God. And so the question is, for that home really to be a home, usually when we think of our home, it's a place where there is love. And for this home to be a home, there must be Christ. And the question is, from where do we draw that presence of Christ in the church? Isaiah gives us a little bit of a hint today in the reading that we heard first. Talks about the water flowing out from the temple. We all know how hard it was, or many of us know, with the windstorm to be completely out of electricity. But it's also equally, if not worse, to be out of water. Because we can't gotta live in the house without electricity, but no water, how are we gonna flush? Without water, how are we gonna bathe? Without water, how are we gonna cook? We need those things. Unless you wanna be a bunch of smelly, stinky people, then you don't. But I don't think most of us wanna be there. The water that wells up in the church finds for us one root and one source, and that's Jesus Christ. When we look at Jesus Christ in John's gospel later on, we're going to hear that his heart was pierced, and from that heart flowed blood and water. And that blood and water that flowed from the crucified Christ carried with it his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, so that now that water continually flows in the church. There's where we draw our strength. There's where we draw our security. There is where we draw our truth. From those waters that flowed from Christ's side. Those were the waters that we are washed in baptism. Those are the waters we seek every time we come to this home and we thirst for the living God. That's how we are created as human beings. We are incomplete without God. That's why we spend so much time and money trying to find other things. And yet none of those things seem to satisfy. Only God can satisfy our heart because he's the one who made us. And he made a spot for him in us that we may be then complete. And so when we come to church as our spiritual home, we come as children of God the Father. That God is our Father and that this is his house. And as his children, baptized in the death and resurrection of Jesus, we don't only have a right to be here, we have an obligation to be here. To thank the Father who gives us life, to worship him, to give him those thanks, but also to receive all the gifts he has to give us. And so when we think about it, and the parallel between home and the church, the church has always taught that the primary teacher of children are the parents, the mother and the father. And at the home, certain things are taught. They're taught discipline. They're taught generosity. They're taught understanding. They're taught how to pray. They're taught what to believe. Their values and their virtues are informed and strengthened in that environment. And so sometimes you can say, I am the product of my family. I am the product of my parents. For good or for bad, we either taught them or we didn't. And now we have the consequences of that. The same is true for the church. The church has much to teach us. It's first of all a school of prayer. We come to learn that our life is incomplete unless we're reaching out of ourselves to God. If all we're doing is embracing ourselves and staying close to ourselves, then we are extremely selfish and we have no place to go. We'll just dry up. But when you reach out to God in prayer, whether it's gratitude for all that he's given us or the recognition that we need his help every day, that to be alone in this world is the most terrifying thing. To be alone without God is not something we ever want to desire. Children don't like to be alone. They're scared. And we should be scared if we're not with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so the church teaches us how to pray, how to open our hearts to God, how to thank him, how to ask for his help, how to simply praise him for being him, his beauty and his goodness. So it's definitely that kind of a school of prayer. It's also a school of discipline, of knowing how to live in this world, of knowing the goodness of things and the evil of some things, to understand that growing up means making choices, and that when we make choices, we cut other things off. And we learn in the church, in terms of the moral life, that if Christ is our center, then everything will fit within its place. But if we think our center is partly in Christ and partly in this and partly in that, then we're going to be lost and we're going to be confused and we're going to be all over the place. We're not going to have a home. We're going to be, if you will, gypsies traveling from one thing to the other, never having a place to rest. But of all these things, the most important thing the church is for us Besides being a school of virtue and a school of prayer, it's a school of life. How do we live in this world? We have different ways, you know, we hear how the world says we need to live as individualists or as consumers or as people concerned only about ourselves and not anyone else. It's all about getting ahead. That's what the world says. And that's the kind of school that, unfortunately, we find ourselves being more and more educated in. And unfortunately, more and more people are paying attention to that teacher than they are to Christ, who is our teacher. Because the school of life in the church points us again to the source of all of our waters, and that is Jesus Christ crucified. He is our source. From him those waters flow. And if we want to learn about life, then we need to learn about Christ. And the first thing we know about Christ is that it is about serving. It is about generosity. It is about care for the others. A self-centered church is not a church. On this feast of St. John Lateran, we recognize the church in Rome is called the mother of all the churches. As Catholics, we are connected to each other, whether we're in Rome or in France or in Cincinnati or in Lebanon. We're one church, we're one faith, under one Lord Jesus Christ, who constantly pours out his life for us. And says the church has one purpose, to build up that life, to make that life known, to encourage that life, so that in the end, the church has its goal. And the church's goal for us is to become saints. The church, if you want to call it this, should be a saint-making factory. To become holy is to come to that church. And we become holy not only by listening to God's word and meditating on God himself talking to us, which is what we just heard, but God also knows he's not just going to come through our mind and our ears. He's going to come through all of our senses. And so he's going to take things like water and wine. He's going to take oil, the sacraments of the church, and use them as concrete ways of teaching us how to live in this world. And to know that if we rely on them and we rely on him, that we will find real joy in this world. But if we think all the answers lie in a government or in a politician or in a philosophy, we're going to be in big trouble. Because all of our hopes, we believe, lie in Christ. He is our true home. And if we are those living stones of that church, then we spread that message. You know, I was trying to think of a living stone, and most stones are dead. You don't have a stone talking to you. People had a pet rock, but I think that was just some genius's way of fleecing people out of money. Didn't have to feed it, clean up. You just have them in a little box. Pet rock, $5. Wish I would have thought of it. But I thought, is there such a thing as a living rock? And I realized that, I guess, I'm no geologist, but you know, you think about radioactive material, like uranium. It's a rock. You dig it up. And it gives off radiation, and anything that touches, the radiation rubs off on it. And if that's the case, if we are radiated with Christ, if we are washed in those waters from the cross and filled with the power and light of the Holy Spirit, then we become spiritually radioactive, and we as members of the church can go out and say, this is the life I live. A life in Christ where he gives me his sacraments, his body and blood. He gives me his forgiveness. He gives me his words. He gives me his love. Why don't you come and find out what it's all about? And if we can do that, then that water will continue to flow out. That the church will continue to build. And the kingdom of God, which we await when Jesus comes in glory, will take another step forward in time. So on this feast of St. John Lateran, we recognize that it's much, much more than a building that we're thinking about. We're thinking about our home and God's home. And when we come into God's home, we treat him with love, we treat him with respect and reverence, and we recognize his great holiness, his great mystery. And in the end, God then gives us all that he can, all that he is. He gives us his son so that we can be built up, so that we will know, yes, this is our home, because no matter where else When I am here, I am secure. When I am here, I will know the generosity and kindness of others, and I will be able to be generous and kind to others. And that when I am here with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And if I have those things, then we know what it means to dwell in the house of God. And we'll find out that this is a place that we will want to return to. Because besides our homes where we live every day, we come here, we really live. Our souls are nourished. Our bodies are strengthened. And God's love fills us so that we can take that love and begin to fill others.